for you. Of course, it's been an emotional time, like it has for all of us. And how was last week for you to handle?
Well, it was emotionally draining. You hit the nail on the head, particularly the combination of things, the unusual way that his career was abruptly ended, and I'll not get editorial on that. And then, of course, his death was not expected, or at least it wasn't expected as far as I was concerned, because the last time I saw him, I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
And then the memorial service, and then the tribute thing, which was powerful.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I mean, the words and also the variety of speakers that were brought in that really showcased every aspect of contribution and impact.
All those players said the same thing, but in their own inimitable way. It was well, well done. Guido deserves a lot of credit, if he had anything to do with it.
He had a lot to do with it.
But it had his appearance to it, didn't it?
It sure did, and he had a lot to do with it. He put all of that together. He's done a great job over time of the branding part of it, but you were there at the initial stages where the Penn State brand was Eastern football program, had gone to a couple of bowl games, and that was the brand at the
well
moment.
Put.
Then when he ascends to being a head coach, it now is his job to not only put a football product on the field that people want to see, but also find the outlets for them to either listen to it or see it. How media savvy was he in the early days in combination with his coaching?
Well, Joe was savvy about everything. It didn't take him long to nurse along and to cudgel and to make the media feel important. Jim Tarman, of course, made sure of that by getting him as much exposure as possible. And he's a natural, as you know. He's glib. He's articulate. He can be funny when he wants to be. He can be questioning when he wants to be. So it didn't take him long to win the media over insofar as he as a person is concerned. Everybody was a little skeptical about his coaching ability, particularly when he went 5-6 his first 11 games.
Right, right.
But it didn't take long for everybody, including the fans, the alumni, the media, to recognize there was something here.
And when he went out and talked to you about what to do with the radio network, he wanted affiliates. He wanted, you know, not just markets. He wanted as many affiliates as possible. And for you, that had to be a plus in terms of what you wanted to do job-wise.
That's a blessing. When I ask him what is most important to him in terms of the radio network, dollars or coverage, he said coverage. Whoa, that makes my job a lot easier.
Sure.
And the people responded well. And then on top of that, of course, came the immediate or nearly immediate success of the program in 67, 68, 69, and we were in a seller's market.
The next part was that he also, especially with his New York background, watched Notre Dame highlights.
Yep.
Knew it existed. Everybody
Absolutely.
Knew. C.D. Chesley had put it together.
Yes, sir.
Lindsey Nelson, Paul Hornung would broadcast it. They'd play it on Sundays. He wanted very much the same thing. Explain the genesis of that.
Well, he was happy with TV quarterbacks and its limited coverage, and it was a different piece because there wasn't the whole game kind of thing. And it's amazing how many Penn State fans back then weren't satisfied with just highlights. They wanted to see the whole game over again. And the success of the Notre Dame picture with Cass Chesley getting affiliates all over the country, he said, why can't that happen here? And so an organization put together a package, did it for a year, and unfortunately, kind of at the last minute, the second year, they weren't able to handle it. So Nelson Goldberg at Total Communication Systems was involved with our radio network in as much as he sold the network availabilities. He didn't have anything to do with station recruitment. He just sold the network availabilities. First time he ever did that. Nelson stepped into the breach, put it together, and his ability to get New York market made him a star.
Right.
And it sure helped.
Right. And that was the key. Joe knew if they could somehow break into New York, they were going to be on
Absolutely.
Their way.
Absolutely. And, of course, they got excellent coverage in the Commonwealth.
Oh, outstanding. And, of course, the TV quarterbacks was actually developed out of what was called, I believe, Wednesday quarterbacks.
That's right.
With Rip Engel was the coach on the show.
Harris LePez, Ken Holderman. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And over time, you had a lot of fun with that show. You'd be on with Jim Tarman.
Yeah, that was a fun show. I first started, I guess, in 67. I can't remember a lot of things, Steve. By narrating the game films, that's all I did. Right. And I had to do that from the game, from the coaches' films. And then when I started working full-time at the Division of Broadcasting, I got more involved with the program, did the player stuff and so on.
Albert Vitiello.
Yeah. People never have forgotten when I asked him, what school are you in? He looked at me like I was a nut and said, Penn State. Albert Vitiello, there's the names in the pen. And you know, that's one of the wonderful things. Well, there aren't any wonderful things about the past week, but I saw players I haven't seen for 40 years, Steve. Yeah. That was a remarkable show by former players. Unbelievable. Jack Baronis. I don't know the last time. Oh, well, I haven't seen him since TV quarterbacks. Unbelievable.
And that was, I think, the part that took everyone aback. I think everyone knew that there would be a huge turnout from the general public for the viewing and whatever. But it was the Letterman turning out. I believe they thought they'd be 300 to 400, and somebody told me they were 800.
I don't know how they could count them, because a lot came Tuesday for the viewing and had to get back. There were some that just came for the service and they had to get back. There were some that came for all of them. Yeah. Some came just for the memorial. So there was I don't think there's any way to count them. It's too bad. I don't know whether they had a sign-in kind of thing or not. Anyway, there was a flock of them.
I had Dick Girardi on a few moments ago, and I know how much fun I have working with him. I have a lot of fun working with Jack Ham. You had Jim Tarman for many years. For those who listen to the games, they know, because there were only one or two Penn State games on television every year in the 70s. One or two. Everything else was on radio. The experience of broadcasting with Jim out there as a friend and talking with him on a week-by-week basis.
Well, you're right about the televised games. People had to depend on radio whether they wanted to or not.
And that's where I'm bailed out today. There are a lot of TV games.
Well, people used to tell me, friend, we watch the game, but we turn the sound down and listen to radio. And then, of course, they said, we got two games for the price of one. The one they were watching, the one they were listening to. Uh-huh. But working with Jim was a pleasure. I worked 1 year with Mickey Bergstein.
Yes.
And he's a longtime friend. I've known him for many, many, many years, and was a broadcaster in the early days with guys like Bob Prince. The fact that Jim and I had kind of worked in an association on TV quarterbacks, and the fact that Jim could be perceived by the listener as an insider, if you will, and be able to impart things that nobody else would know, was the rationale. And being a very good friend, and it was helpful. And I think you can tell that when two guys broadcast together, whether they really like each other.
Yeah,
you can't hide some of those things. There are times when I've heard broadcasts when I don't think these two guys get along necessarily. Perhaps it's because the color man has designs on his job. I don't know. But anyway, with Jim, a longtime friend, known him for years and years and years and years. And he was good. He didn't overdo it. He prepared himself extremely well. And it was a conversational kind of arrangement. And then, of course, working with George, which is an experience of a lifetime.
Yes, and that was an experience.
Wonderful guys. Okay, I'm very fortunate to see you.
Yeah, well, same here. I know that the two people I work with right now, I can't say.
Isn't that great to be comfortable?
I mean, you walk into the booth every single game. Number one, you're anxious to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think everybody wants a job where they're anxious to be there. And then you walk in, and you're anxious to work with the person you're working with.
Yep.
It can't work out any better. It's always great seeing you, by the way.
Good to see you. At my age, good to see anybody, Steve. good to be with you, Steve.
We'll be back with the second hour right after this.